Let us pray before we begin. Lord, speak to us today. Let us be still as we listen to your word and hear what you have to say. In Jesus' precious name. Rain. The sound of rain is one of my favorite sounds in the world. For many here, it might be quite the opposite. Rain is the ringtone of the wet and dreary, the dark and damp, and a chance for you not to be outside. It means that any plans you have will have to wait another day. And it's goodbye to dry shoes, any daily runs you do, and certainly leaving your umbrella at home. Certainly, I'm not a fan of how annoying rain can be. However, if I'm at home and there's nowhere I need to go, then for me, there's nothing like the sound of rain. Because the rain and the wind and the water and the storms, they're all out there. And I'm in here, safe. Safe at home. And the sound of the rain, it's an onslaught. It's a sound of rain and thunder and wind, but it'll never get inside, no matter how hard it tries, whether it's a gentle pitter-patter or a roaring drum roll. The firm foundations of my home mean that it's always out there, and I'm always in here. Which is one of the simple reasons that I like rain. I'm sure most people who are outside more than I am might disagree. Indeed, the protection, the safety we have from rain and storms is a privilege and comfort of our modern age, the lives we get to lead now. Our relationship with rain and storms is different because of how safe we are and how little, for most of us, it affects our livelihood. Yet sometimes we turn on the news and we are reminded of the terrifying power of a storm. Once in a while, you hear about rainstorms leading to floods, wiping out homes, towns, hundreds of millions of dollars of damages, lives changed forever, people standing on rooftops, clinging to whatever they can, waiting to be rescued. It's a blessing that we never really have to worry about such things where we are. Yet it also means we don't quite appreciate the terrifying power of a storm. Now imagine being in the middle of a small wooden fishing boat, no land to be seen, in the dark of night, the wind ripping past you, roaring in your ears as the waters grab your boat and shake you back and forth, and the waves pour in from every side, closing in like the jaws of a lion. For someone here, the terror of a storm is not lost. Here, the storm isn't outside. It's outside and inside all at the same time. The storm is coming in, whether you like it or not. And it's such a storm that Jesus and his disciples find themselves in Mark chapter 4. It's near the start of Jesus' ministry, and he had quickly become well known. Huge crowds have come to see the great teacher from Nazareth, the healer. And after another full day of teaching, the evening had arrived and the light was dimming. At this point, Jesus brings his disciples in and tells them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. That was his disciples. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" When we read these verses, we might not immediately see the danger the disciples really were in. After all, the danger emerges in a flash, in a moment. A couple of sentences, and all of a sudden, we're in the middle of the storm. And like I said before, most of us don't really know what it's like to be in a storm, let alone one at sea. Furthermore, in this passage, it says that Jesus is asleep through this whole thing. How bad could the storm be if he's asleep through the whole thing? Yet there's several small details which reveal just how much danger they really were in. You see, the Sea of Galilee, which the disciples and Jesus were crossing over, was more than familiar territory for all of the people involved. It was along the very shoreline of this sea that Jesus had called his first disciples, some of the men with him then, who were fishermen. For them, the Sea of Galilee had been the lifeblood of their trade as fishermen. It would be no exaggeration to say that no one knew these waters better. And so when we hear that the windstorm was great, we pay attention. When we hear that the waves were breaking into the boat and that the boat was beginning to fill, we know that this is despite every effort from a group of experienced fishermen who knew these waters like no one else. And we certainly pay attention when such men wake Jesus up and cry out to him saying, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" While the terror of the storm may be lost to us, what we learn from these two simple verses is that the terror was not lost to Jesus' disciples. They knew the terror of the storm. They knew that their situation was life or death. And when experienced fishermen like these are shaking Jesus awake, telling him that we're about to die, we best believe that this was no small storm. Yet, isn't it even stranger that if there was such a storm, Jesus would be asleep through it all? I mean, he might be tired from teaching all day. But how would he be so tired that he wouldn't be awoken by such a great storm? How can he still be asleep? "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The wind roared, the water raged, and the disciples were terrified. Yet there was a single place where there was peace in the storm. Jesus woke from his slumber and commanded the wind and the sea, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" For the disciples, the storm hadn't just shaken their bodies, it had shaken their souls. The power of the storm reached within, and they were afraid, not just because the storm was powerful, but because there was nothing they could do to stop it. They were out of options. They were out of control. And the storm threatened to take the very thing that was most valuable to them. Their lives were on the table, and they were at the mercy of the storm. "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" On the surface, Doesn't it seem reasonable for the disciples to be afraid? After all, they were literally on the verge of losing their lives. Who here wouldn't be terrified in a sudden life-threatening situation in which you are totally, completely out of control? But Jesus asks the question, why are you so afraid? Why? What is it that you fear losing? Now you say, teacher, you don't understand. We were about to lose everything. We were going to lose our very lives. Isn't it right to be afraid of something that's going to kill us when there's nothing we can do to stop it? How are we meant to feel? But Jesus answers that question with another question. Have you still no faith? Now, this question is interesting, and it's also simple. What did you believe was going to happen? Really, really, what did you think was going to happen? Did you forget who was in the boat with you? Now, for the disciples, the storm had pummeled their bodies, shaken their souls, gripped their hearts with fear. In contrast, Jesus slept in the back of the boat like a baby. So still and at peace was he, that even as a great storm raged around him, there was nothing the storm could do to disturb him. It had no power, no control over the state of Jesus' soul. Not a moment of fear, not a moment of terror, not a moment of doubt. Quite the opposite. Because when he was awoken by his disciples, he wasn't the one that was shaken, but rather the storm was shaken, stunned into silence. The great peace and still of Jesus reached out, and the raging storm was silent. The wind stopped. The waves were still. The power of the storm was powerless before the teacher from Nazareth. And it's no wonder that the disciples were absolutely terrified. For good reason. Who in the world has the power, the authority to do something like this? Well, the answer is simple. No one. Which is why they were so terrified. No one except God alone. Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Their fear of the storm was replaced by an even greater fear, a fear of an even greater power, a fear of the one who makes the storm bow its head in obedience. You know, when kids are disruptive in class, it's expected that a teacher is there to discipline them. When a soldier is marching in line, we expect them to be following a commander's orders. There are simple relationships and roles which we are familiar with, which is how things work. Different people are given different power and responsibility to do different things, whether it is to command troops or to discipline children or anything else. So here's the question. Just who has the power to command the wind and the sea? In case you're wondering, this isn't just a job or a position you can give someone. It's an entirely different kind of power or ability. It's an authority that comes from above. Be still. These words are not only the words of Jesus as he commands the storm to be silent. We look back and we see these words, this command, used in a different place. Here, this time, the words of God in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Hundreds of years before Jesus stood in the middle of that storm in the Sea of Galilee, a writer of the Psalms cries out to God and remembers God's power and the peace that he brings. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. God is our refuge and strength. In the first words, the psalmist says, he declares to all the earth who it is he trusts. God is my safety. God is my strength. Therefore, even if the earth is falling apart and the mountains are literally picked up and tossed into the sea, and the oceans roar and foam, and the mountains shake, we will not fear, because God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is my savior in trouble. God is greater than any power on earth, greater than any storm. God is the peace, the calm in the middle of the storm. Do not fear. God is with you. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his words, his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. All the nations rage, the kingdoms and powers of earth fight against each other and against God. The Lord of hosts is with us. God is with us. He utters his voice and the earth melts. Do not fear. God is greater than any nation, any kingdom, any scheme of man, anything you or me or anything else anyone can do. With a single word, anything built by our hands melts away. Do not fear. God is with us. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Anyone who would ever dare to oppose God, anyone who brings their bows, their spears, their chariots to fight, to rebel against God, shall be crushed by a God who is in control. All the nations and all the earth shall know the power and the glory of God. Behold, the power and glory of God. Be still and know that I am God. Whatever you think is great on this earth, in this universe, God is greater. Whatever power of nature, whatever kingdom of man, whatever things we do and make here on earth, behold, God is in control. He speaks and the whole earth is still. This is the power of the one true, sovereign, holy God. This is the authority of the one to whom all the forces of nature bow its head. This is the God who commands the winds and the seas, the one who calms the raging storm and makes it still. And if this is our God, he is indeed a powerful God, the God of the highest power, with authority over the wind and the waves and all the forces of nature and all the forces of man. But for us, he's not just a God of power, but also a God of peace. He is our refuge and our strength, our help in trouble against any power. When the earth gives way and the mountains are thrown into the sea, we do not fear. When the nations rage and the kingdoms totter, we do not fall. When the wars rage and the enemies come armed and ready, we remember that God is with us. And he is the God that sees all the noise and all the powers of nature and all the rage of the nations and all the rebellion of man and says, be still. Know that I am God. I'm in charge. I'm the one that's in control. He silences the noise. He is the one that brings peace in the middle of the storm. With all the power of the universe, he brings peace. So, who's in the boat? Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who then is this? It's the Son of Man, yet it's the power of God. Who is it that can tell a great storm to be still and immediately the winds stop and the waters are still and the storm is silent? Who is it that is so calm, so at peace, that a raging storm cannot wake him, but rather he is the one who silences the raging storm? Who is the one who can give the same command as the God of the universe to command the very forces of nature and expect it to actually happen? Who is, in a life and death situation, able to question us about why we are afraid? Question us about where our faith is. You know, these two questions that Jesus asks his disciples after he calms the storm, let me ask them a little differently. Let me word them for you a little differently. I think what Jesus is asking is this: who do you really think is in control? In control of the sky and the sea and the wind and the waves and the storm. In control of you. And if he's with you, then what are you afraid of? It's like Jesus is saying, who do you think I am? Don't you trust me? And for good measure, to prove this, he silences the raging storm. Have you still no faith? But he's just a man, is he? Like any man, he eats and drinks and sleeps. But unlike any man, a raging storm cannot shake him. And he has the authority, the power to make the wind and waves obey. Son of Man and Son of God. In him, we see the very character of God. A God of highest authority, a God of greatest power, a God of strength, a God who commands the forces of nature and silences the powers of man, a God who brings peace to a raging world. Be still. A God of peace, a God of comfort, a God who is our refuge, our safety. Be still and know who I am. Do not fear. Do you not believe in me? What are you afraid of? Where is your faith? Where is your faith in me? I'm the one that's in control. Peace. Be still. God is with us in the form of a man, in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Who's with us in the boat? As the storms rage and the winds and waves threaten to pull us in, who's in the boat with you? If he is with us, you have nothing to be afraid of. Trust and believe. Our Savior is with us. In Christ alone, I find my strength, my refuge, my peace, my hope. You know, today, as we enjoy the comforts of our homes, as the big storms sometimes come over Sydney every month or so, we watch the storm go by. On the other side of the window, outside of the solid brick wall that our homes are built with. And we might not know what it's like to fear a physical storm, a storm that tosses us all over the place, that makes us lose balance, lose control. You might say, so Jesus has the power to calm the storm, back then with his disciples. But what does it have to do with me? So what if he commands the wind and waves back then in the Sea of Galilee? I don't have to deal with that issue. I don't have to face any storms. Yet the questions that Jesus asks shows us that he wasn't just proving to us that he could calm an actual real life storm, although it certainly revealed his power. The question he asks his disciples were this: why are you afraid? Where is your trust? You see, the storm that Jesus came to deal with isn't the thunderstorm that tears past Sydney every few months, as we notice it from our rooms. It's a different kind of storm. Not just a storm that is outside, but one that reaches within. It's the kind of storm which, no matter how much we struggle and try to escape, how much we lean on our own experience, or knowledge, or skills, or abilities, or strength, or other things, continues to make us fear, to make us anxious, uncertain, worried, sad, angry, out of control. It's the kind of storm that reminds us that we really aren't in control, that no matter how hard we try and how much we do, there's no way that we can calm the storm. It's the thing that makes us feel like our whole world is collapsing, even though everything looks normal on the surface. And when we question things that have happened and the things that will happen, this is a different kind of storm. It's a storm that rages within. You know, I remember one semester of uni where I knew I hadn't done well in my final exams. And all I could do was wait for the results to come out. And I knew the results wouldn't come out for like a whole month. But I just sat there. And there was nothing more that I could think of. Every small thing I would do, I would come back by the end of the day to worrying, being anxious about just what would happen if I actually failed. I remember thinking, why am I so worried about these things? There's nothing I can do to change the outcome. But it was precisely because of that that I was so worried. The marks are in, the exams are done, and it was totally out of my control. There was nothing I can do to change the result. And it was for that reason that I was so nervous. Because things were out of my control. And that if I failed, I would have to experience something I'd never experienced before. That I would lose the comfort of being in control. Why are you so afraid? Well, because in this moment, I want to be in control, but I can't be. I have to let go. There's nothing I can do. And what about when we lose something important? What about when we lose something precious to us? What happens when something unexpected happens? Something totally out of the blue to something we love or someone we love? Something that happens to us or someone else? What happens in those moments when we think, this isn't fair, life shouldn't be this way, that life isn't fair? These things that I want to hold on to, or these people that I don't want to lose, there's nothing I can do, but it's so unfair. Why do I have to lose it? It's out of my hands. It's completely out of my control. You know, some older friends of mine and our family passed away. And for some people, they'll just say, this is just the way things are. This is the natural, necessary course of life. This too will pass. Yet the pain you feel, the loss, the sorrow, it makes us question, is this really how things are meant to be and always will be? You know, one thing we are certainly reminded of in those moments is that we aren't in control, that the matters of life and death are out of our jurisdiction, they're out of our control, no matter how much we want to hold on. Why are you so afraid? I'm afraid that all I see is all there is. I'm afraid that when I lose something or someone precious, that the brief, short moment they're with us is really all the time there ever will be. That the things I see as unjust, unfair, not right, remain that way forever. I'm afraid that in the grand scheme of things, everything I know, everything I am, everyone I love, doesn't really matter in the face of an infinite universe. And that when I cling to my life now, treasure it, treasure the lives around me, I'm scared. Because I don't want to lose anyone or anything. Because what if that's all that I will ever have and all that I will ever be? I'm afraid because it's out of my control. And that storm, it comes for us all. And it digs within, and it digs deep, and it doesn't go away. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Who's in the boat? Who's in the boat with us? As the storm comes to rock our very foundations, our very core, who's in the boat with you? What if the one in the boat is the one that even the winds and the waves obey? The one that calms the storm? A God of power, a God of peace, a God of love, a God who is in control. And he loved us so much that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, to join him in eternity. He loves us so much that he sent his Son to calm the storm, to show us that this isn't all there is and ever will be, to show us the path ahead, to show us who's really in control, to show us that we really do matter, that we aren't just a moment, a dot in an infinite cosmos. We are loved so much that God would come to us to be our Savior, to be Savior of the world. And he sends his Son, Jesus, to be the way into life, the way into eternity, the way into knowing that we really do matter. He is the truth that all we see now isn't really all that there is, and that he is the life that reminds us of the eternal life to come. He is the one that comes to offer us and remind us of what that life will look like. And he shows us all of this through an empty tomb. This is the evidence that we are loved, loved by God. He is the evidence that there is more. And it's through the cross and it's through the empty tomb. When Jesus goes to the cross, goes to his execution at the hand of the Roman authorities, under the schemes of the Jewish religious leaders, it seemed like the picture, every picture that we've seen before, every human picture, the simple picture that no matter how cruel, how unfair, how unjust things seem to be, everyone has their moment, everyone has their time, where death calls and the brief moment we have on earth comes to an end. No matter how great or small, no matter how much one has or hasn't done, even for the one who stood at the helm of the ship and commanded the storm to be still, even he would have to face the final curtain. No escape. But what if? What if this was the plan the whole time? That when all hope is lost and when everything seems out of control, we see who really is in control. What if the very way to show who's really in control, who's really in charge, is to let the storm do everything it thinks it can do, everything it wants to do, and once it's tired, once it's exhausted, once it has nothing left to give, then the Lord of life and death, the Lord over the universe, shows us who's really in charge. What if Jesus entered into death, even death on a cross, to show us that even this storm, the greatest, most terrifying, most vicious storm there ever is, has no power over him? It cannot reach the peace within his heart. It cannot change the love he plans to show. The storm of death and of sin and of judgment tries everything it can to stop him. Yet 3 days later, the tomb is empty. What if this was the way, the only way, for the God of love and the God of righteous power and judgment to bring us peace, to bring us peace in the storm, and to bring us into eternity through a sacrifice on the cross, that the Son of God would go to the cross and calm the storm. Sin and death throw everything it can at him, and he emerges, risen, in control, victorious, the one who calms the storm. So now we look at Jesus, and we see not a dead Lord, but a risen, living Lord, who for the sake of love conquered even the greatest storm, who in his infinite power chose to bring us peace, who in his infinite love offers a way into eternity. He is the one who calms the storm. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? If this is what I've done for you, what are you afraid of? If this is how much I love you, what do you fear? As it says in Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? If he has done this, then what things on earth do we have to fear? We aren't in control, most certainly not, but we know who is. We know who's on the boat with us. He's in control. You know, throughout our lives, the storms will come. Yeah, they will. Some bigger than others. Some seem so great, so powerful, that we cannot escape, cannot see a way out. It threatens to pull us in to those deep and murky waters. It's in those moments that we remember. We remember who's in the boat with us. Don't be afraid. What do you have to fear? The one who is in the boat commands the wind and the waves. He's the one who calms the storm. He's the one that has calmed the greatest storm of all. And he loves you so much that he gave his life to save you. In those stormy seas, in those moments when the wind is too great and the waves are too strong, remember who's with you. Remember the one who calms the storm. Turn to him. He's proven that he won't forsake you, won't leave you behind, won't leave you to die. He'll bring you through the storm. What are you afraid of? Have you still no faith? Be still. He is with you, always, into eternity. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can place all of our trust in you, and you, and in you there is no fear. You have done it all. You have saved us. Let us learn to trust in you and remember that you are with us always. In Jesus' precious name, amen.